Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you for reading the scripture for us, and let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for just your many, many blessings. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you that we have the privilege to be able to read your word and to hear the word of God being preached, that we have the privilege to worship you together. And we pray today that as we have this time, we pray that we would be moved by your word, that we would be convicted and encouraged by your word, and that we would ultimately just grow in our faith, grow in your grace, and just really honor you and worship you. We thank you. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So today we're in Psalm 23. You know, I was praying about, you know, obviously this being my last Sunday here at Sojourner, just last opportunity to preach at Sojourner. I was just thinking, well, what should I, you know, well, what is an appropriate passage? And this is my favorite psalm, and I'm assuming, or maybe, I don't want to assume, but it may be your favorite psalm. It is probably the most famous, well, it is the most famous psalm, perhaps the most famous chapter in the Bible, even, or one of them. And this just, you know, this passage just really convicted, you know, just really was on my heart as I thought about, you know, people come and go, you know, even pastors obviously sometimes come and go, but who is the shepherd who is always with us? And obviously it is our Lord, it is Christ. And so this was a passage that was on my heart, so I wanted to share it with you. And again, as I said, it's famous, it's well known. I remember growing up, I think I memorized it in Korean and English. And I remember a lot of people I knew, even people that weren't Christians, at least they know the beginning of the psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And it's comforting for a lot of people. A famous pastor, theologian, Jim Boyce, said that it is the most beloved of the 150 Psalms, and possibly the best-known chapter in the Bible. I think Charles Spurgeon, great British preacher, said it is the pearl of the Psalms. And you know, it's a psalm that has probably been with people as they had tears, brought them peace, been memorized, comforted people. And as I was thinking about the psalm, I was reminded, I know nothing about being a shepherd. Right. What do I know? And I would guess that none of us in this room know anything about being a shepherd. You know, I've seen sheep, right? I think I've petted them, I even fed them. But what do I know about sheep? What do I know about shepherding? None of us do. And yet, to the hearers that were hearing Psalm 23, many of them were familiar probably with it. David, who wrote the psalm, was a shepherd. So he obviously knows a lot about being a shepherd. It wasn't the most glorious job, obviously, but it was, you know, fairly common in their day. And a shepherd took care of the sheep, right? A shepherd cared for the sheep. A shepherd protected the sheep, fed the sheep, led the sheep. But when I hear the word, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm also reminded it means we are sheep. And that's not a compliment, right? It might sound like a compliment, oh, cute sheep or something, but sheep are not the smartest animals, right? They're very easy prey. They're not good at feeding themselves. They get lost. They wander off. They have to be defended. They have to be taken care of. They need a shepherd. And then obviously in Isaiah, we hear that we are sheep that have gone astray. We need a savior. We need a good shepherd in our lives. And so the psalm obviously is pointing forward to Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And as we think about this passage today, I just wanted to really think about the characteristics of the good shepherd, the characteristics of the great shepherd. And so just to change it up today, instead of 3 points, I decided to do 4 points. You know, and so 4 points, one is that the shepherd knows his sheep. Second, the shepherd provides for the sheep. That thirdly, that the shepherd, the shepherd guides the sheep, the shepherd protects the sheep, and the shepherd is always with his sheep, right? They're short points, though. So 5 points. Let me start with the shepherd knows his sheep. It doesn't say it explicitly in this passage, but in John 10, which is about shepherding as well, Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me. He's talking about his sheep. And so we hear the Savior himself, the good shepherd, saying, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. And then in this passage, right, we see something here. It's a very personal experience of David. It starts in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And then verse 4, it's a shift. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for, and then second person, you are with me, right? Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. So he's going from the third person to the second person. And what we see is he knows about the shepherd, of course, but he also knows the shepherd, right? The shepherd knows him, and he knows the shepherd. And it's a reminder to me, it's not enough for us to know about God. That's great. But we also need to know him. But we need to know our God. We need to know our Savior. We have to know our shepherd, our good shepherd. So he knows us. We know him. And how awesome is that? To be known by the great shepherd. All of us want to be known. We want to be heard. We want to be understood. I hear that all the time from people. I want you to understand me. I want someone to know me. The good shepherd who loves his sheep knows his own. But secondly, the shepherd provides for the sheep. Verse 1, right, obviously very famous. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that even mean, I shall not want? It means I will lack nothing. How amazing is that? That doesn't mean, obviously, that the shepherd will give you whatever you want. That's not what it means. But it means if you need something, you will not lack it. And then he kind of explains that. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, it sounds like a picnic, right? It sounds very nice. But really, what is David talking about? What do sheep eat? Green pastures. So he's not taking the sheep to brown pastures. He's taking the sheep to lush, bountiful, green pastures. He's giving him good food. But then he says, he leads me beside still waters. And if you study, you find out that sheep, they're scared. They're really, really scared of things. And so if the water's too fast, they can't even drink the water. So what do sheep need? Nice, calm, slow, still water. And so what is David saying? My shepherd, my good shepherd who loves me, right? It will make sure that I lack nothing, but also he's saying, the Lord provides so that I will get the green grass that I need. I will get the water that I need. He's saying he will always provide for me. It reminds me of the Exodus, right? The manna in the desert with the Israelites. They had no food in the desert. So what does God do every day? He sent them manna so they could eat. He provided for them. But it also reminds me what Jesus says in the New Testament, right? He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the living water, right? He's the living water, but he's the bread of life. And so what do we know? We know that the Lord provides. Obviously, he provides for our salvation, but he continues to provide in every part of my life. He even, as it says in verse 3, he restores my soul. He even gives me rest. But I think for us, we know this, we hear this, we may say amen to this, but a lot of times we struggle Because the way that the Lord provides is not always the way I want to be provided for, right? We want certain things, and when we don't get it, we feel like God doesn't care. Or maybe things happen in my life, they're very difficult, and you say, why, God? Why would you let that happen? Why would you not provide for me? You said I will want nothing, I will lack nothing, and yet, why are things happening in my life that I don't understand? Where are you? I've said that before. I'm sure you've said that before. I've struggled with that. I'm sure you have struggled with that, or maybe are struggling with that even as we speak right now. It reminds me of little kids, right? My kids do this too, where my daughter will be eating dinner and she'll be saying, I'm full. I'm done. And we're like, well, no, you have to eat that, you have to eat that. No, 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 I don't want to eat anymore. And 10 seconds later, she'll say, can I have ice cream, right? Or can I have some other kind of junk food? And then I'll say, I thought you were full. And she'll pretty much say, yeah, I'm full, but I'm not full for that, right? Because I want what I want. But as a parent, if you say, okay, here's the ice cream, here's the candy, here's the cookies, you don't have to eat the healthier stuff, then I will be, obviously, a bad parent. A good parent says, you know what, I know you want the junk food, but actually, you know, let's limit that, and you need really the healthier stuff because it's good for you. Does my little girl understand that? No, not really. She doesn't understand it. But what she needs to do is she needs to trust that mommy and daddy have the best thing for her. What I'm trying to share is this. Sometimes I don't understand, you don't understand why God provides in the way that he provides. But what God makes clear is he provides for my needs, not my greed. And he doesn't provide the way I want to be provided for. He provides in the way that I need to be provided for. And when we see the great shepherd in John 10, what does he say? He says, not only do I know my own, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus willingly dies for his own sheep. So we know that the greatest need that I have, that you have, the greatest need that we have for forgiveness, for salvation, for eternal life, for relationship with the shepherd is provided for by Christ as he literally lays down his life, not only risking it, but laying it down. And so then, if he would do that for his sheep, what would he not do for his sheep? And we know, and we trust, that the same shepherd who lays down for his sheep will provide everything that his sheep need. And so I hope knowing that, we could be encouraged. And we could just say, Lord, I struggle, I don't understand, but I trust you, your love, your provisions. As we continue, thoroughly, the shepherd knows his sheep, the shepherd provides for his sheep, but the shepherd also guides his sheep. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us how to live. And if you follow him, we go into good things. But if you don't follow him, if you follow the wrong shepherds, or if you follow, you know, the thieves, right, the robbers, we get lost. He leads us into paths of righteousness, leading us into a simple, humble life, following the Lord for his name's sake, for his glory, for our benefit, for our blessing. And we want to know who he is. We want to know that he provides. But we also want to follow him into the right places, into the paths of righteousness. Again, I'm reminded of the Exodus in the desert, where we had a pillar of smoke, pillar of fire. And that's amazing, right? They didn't have a GPS back then. How do we know how to get to where we need to get to? And God said, let me tell you how to get there. Follow me. And he was, you know, pillar of fire, pillar of smoke. And then if he goes, you follow. If he stops, sometimes they will stop for a really long period of time. They would just stop. Why? Because they followed him in the desert. Obviously, we know they didn't follow him all that well. They weren't always obedient. And that was a whole problem too. But the idea is, as his sheep, we want to follow him. Because if we go the wrong way without him, we might die. We might get lost. Right? We might be attacked. We want to be with him. And how does he guide us? Through his word. So we want to read the Word. We want to know the Word. We want to cherish the Word. We want to memorize the Word. We want to study the Word. And then when the Word of God is being preached, we want to hear that and really apply that into my life. But the problem is way too often, we don't read the Word. We don't study the Word. Even when it's being preached, we don't really care about it. And the problem is we need to first read it, but we also need to apply it and follow the Word of God. I remember when I first started ministry, you know, and I was in youth ministry, I would ask the students, how many of you read the Bible every day? And like no hands would ever go up. How many of you read the Bible every week? And every hand would go up. Oh, really? And they would say, yeah, at church. Right? And that was it. And I remember back in the day, you know, I used to do like house visitations, and this is before smartphones. You know, oh, let's read the Word of God together. And the people are looking for the Bible. They don't know where it is, right? And now we all have a Bible app. But how many of us often use the Bible app? And then, even when we read the Word, we just kind of go, ah, I know what God says, but does it really matter? You know, it's kind of like a GPS, right? I remember early days of GPS, and I would put the GPS on, I'm going somewhere, and then the GPS would say, go this way, and I'd be like, this GPS is wrong. This is the better way. And I wouldn't even listen to it. And I'll go the other way, and then there'll be like some kind of crazy traffic or an accident or construction. I was like, oh, that's why the GPS said to go that way. And I would say to myself, oh, next time, listen to the GPS. But if you have a GPS and you don't follow it, well, what's the point? If we have the Word of God, if it's being preached to us, if it's right in front of us, we want to read it, we want to listen to it, but also we want to follow the Word of God. We want to follow Him. We want to follow the Shepherd as He guides us. And then fourthly, the Shepherd protects the sheep. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep, they're perfect prey. They're defenseless. And I think we're like that. Sometimes we think we're strong, but I think one of the good things about getting older is you realize more and more, even physically, how not strong you are, how weak you are. But even emotionally, right? You know, when you're a kid, people say things like, you know, sticks and stones, right, may break my bones, your words will never hurt me. Total lie. My words can devastate. Words can scar for life. And so physically we're weak, emotionally we're weak, and a lot of times, even though we think we're good, we're strong, we realize we really are not. And what is David saying? He's saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's saying, even when I'm in the worst places, the most difficult places, you are with me. You know, your rod and your staff, you know, the rod could be used, obviously, to attack, you know, other, you know, predators, right? Like, you know, and obviously, as they're attacking the sheep, you could use it to protect the sheep, but also you could use the rod to discipline the sheep. And the staff would often be, you know, a walking stick, but also guide the sheep. And so the idea is God will protect me from those outside of me, the enemies, but also God will protect me from myself. Because a lot of times I am my own worst enemy, right? It's my mistakes. It's like parenting. As a parent, if you have, especially with young kids, you protect your kid from the outside world. But a lot of times, you have to protect your kid from your kid. You have to make sure they don't do something foolish. They don't do something that will get them hurt or injured. And so, we see that the shepherd, the good shepherd, he says, even though you're in the valley of the shadow of death, even though you're in the scariest and worst places, I will protect you, right? You may be scared, you may be worried, depressed, angry, lost, confused, no matter what, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, the shepherd is saying, I will be with you. I will protect you. I will comfort you. And that's an amazing thing. The Bible says, and you know, many times, fear not, right? Because I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And a Christian should be bold because we know no matter what happens, the shepherd is with me. I remember reading a story about a person. A Christian, and I'm not sure if they were a missionary or not, but they were down in Peru. And there's a story about how he was on the Andes Mountains. And I've actually been to Peru. I've been on the Andes Mountains. And it's actually really scary because there's no guardrails. And there's these like small roads. And so when you're on the mountain and you're like on a bus, you know, when the other car is coming, and it's just actually kind of scary. So I stopped looking because it was scary to me. So I understood what the author was saying about how he's on the Andes Mountains and there's no guardrails. And so as they go up, you know, up and down like the mountain and on these little roads, they got scared. What if I die? What if this bus falls off the mountain and that's it? And so he had anxiety. And then he said, in the middle of the anxiety, he had a different thought. He said, you know what? If God is with me, I'm not going to fall off if God wants to protect me. But then he said, but even if I was to fall off, I would only fall off because God let that happen, which means no matter what happens, it's God's will and God is good. And so no matter what happens, what is best for me will happen today. And he said as he thought about that, he went from anxiety to peace and comfort, and he realized there were this invisible guardrails all over this mountain because he knew that God would protect him and God would only do what was best for him. And I think that's a great picture of our lives. The great shepherd is with us, protecting us. Every situation I'm in, good ones, bad ones, scary ones, difficult ones, he's always with me. He's always protecting me. And I have nothing to fear because, again, he is with me. And lastly, the shepherd is always with his sheep. I love verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is with me. The shepherd is with me every day of my life. And when my time on earth is done, he's saying, I will be in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. You know, in the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, talks about how when a believer dies, where their soul is made perfect in holiness and immediately goes into glory. And then it says that the resurrection, right, it says we're made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God forever. And so what I know is that God is with us for the remainder of our years here, how long that may be. He is with us, protecting us, providing for us, loving us, guiding us. And then even after the time on earth is over, he's saying, for eternity, I will be with you. Right? Jesus says in Matthew 28, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We see in the Word, to his people, God says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I'm always with you. How amazing is that? Now, I was sharing yesterday during community group how, you know, my wife, she wants a dog. She said, hey, well, you know, let's get a dog. I said, absolutely not, right? I had dogs growing up, and I recall very well how much my mom did in taking care of that dog and how little I did in taking care of that dog. And I said, oh, that's going to be us if we get a dog. I said, no, although I like dogs. But, you know, when you think about a dog, sometimes I'm like, man, what a nice life. You know, you wake up, right? Your owner walks you, right? You get fed. You get water, food, you get taken care of, anything you need, everything taken care of for you, you just gotta live. And that's us. Yeah, we have to work, yeah, we have to grow, and obviously we need to, you know, cling on to Jesus and all that, but at the end of the day, what I do know is that he's always with me. Everything I need, that I will lack nothing, he will guide me, he will protect me. How amazing is that. I remember a story I heard. I don't even really remember the story. My mom told me, though, a few times, and so I'm sure it's true. You know, I came to this country when I was 6, so I think this was maybe when I was 4 or 5. I was in Korea, and I think my parents had visited my grandparents, and it was in a place of Korea called Gurodong, if you know Korea at all. And I remember me and my sister, you know, because in Korea back then, even as a little kid, you would just go outside by yourself. We went outside, my mom gave me some money, and we went to buy some ice cream, like in a little store nearby. And I remember, I think I really loved this thing called Joss Bar back then. So I was so excited, and we went out and we bought little ice creams. And then, even though it was really close to my grandmother's house, I got lost. I didn't know where to go. And, you know, I was like 5. My sister was probably 4, so 1 year younger. And so I did what any kid would do in that situation. I cried. I like wept. So my mom, after a little bit, she's thinking, where's my kids? They're not coming back. So she comes down, and she finds me and my sister, and she said it was pretty funny. She said, you were just weeping, like just bawling. But she said, your sister was right next to you with a smile eating her ice cream. So she said, I was worried. Not about you. I expected that. What's wrong with my daughter? Why is she not crying? And so she, you know, asked us, are you okay? What happened? And she said, I said something, you know, to the tune of, oh, I didn't know where you were. I was lost. I was so scared. And then she asked my sister, well, why are you not crying? And she looked at her and she said, because I'm with my brother. She was saying, I'm with my older brother, and as long as he's with me, I'm going to be fine. Now, that's total foolishness, because here I am weeping, right, not knowing what to do. But she just trusted that as long as I'm with my brother, I'm going to be okay. Now, that was obviously foolish on her end, but here's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter what situation I'm in. What I do know is, as long as the shepherd is with me, leading me, feeding me, guiding me, protecting me, what I do know is that it will work out for good because he is with me. And my hope and my prayer is that we would trust that we would know that, put our faith in him, just love him and worship him. Obviously, today's our family's last day here, and honestly, we're sad, you know, to leave a community that we've known, you know, and as we had the men's gathering on Friday and even the small group yesterday, it was nice, but it was sad. And so obviously we're excited for the new call, but we also leave with the sadness and leaving friends and family, you know, obviously on that transition. But I want us to always remember, you know, wherever we are, people come and go, but the shepherd, he is always with us, loving us. And so, yes, we will miss you all, but I also know that the shepherd will be with all of us, providing for us. And I hope wherever we are, we can trust him and worship him as his people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for you are good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Help us to always know that, cherish that. And help us always to cherish you and to trust you, knowing how loved we are. Let us worship you and follow you all the days of our lives. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray.